You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
Welcome to Managing Technology the Right Way with your host, Sun Jogal. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guest, and callers. Now showing you how to manage technology the right way, here's Sun Jogal.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the show. It needs careful planning and flawless execution to make technology work for us, but how many times do we succeed? On this show, we invite business leaders and subject matter experts with extensive experience in technology management. The intent here is to learn from their experience and discuss better ways to manage technology. To learn more about the show, please visit talkshow.avval.com. That is talkshow.avval.com. Today's topic is IT challenges of construction industry. Our guest for today's show is Philip T. Goh. Phil is the Chief Information Officer at Barton Malow Company. When he joined the company in 1997, his charge was to utilize information technology to create competitive business advantages for the company and provide clients with enhanced value. Under Phil's leadership, he has guided Barton Malow into an international light by receiving several distinguished IT awards. In 2001, Information Week listed Barton Malow among the 500 most innovative companies worldwide. In addition, CIO Magazine twice named Barton Malow to its list of the top 100 companies that have innovative information technology practices and IT excellence. In 2002, Computer World named Phil as a Premier 100 IT leader. Previously, Phil has held positions in information technology at Anderson Consulting, McKinley Associates, and the Greenfield Coalition at Focus, Hope's Center for Advanced Technologies. Phil holds an MBA from the University of Michigan and is a graduate of the University of Santa Clara, where he earned Bachelor and Master of Science in Electrical Engineering. Good morning, Phil. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How was your first quarter?
Oh, pretty good. I mean, you know, we can always use more business, but so far, so good. So.
That's wonderful. Now, let's jump right into the questions that we had. When we talk about, you know, you did some excellent work when you joined Barton Malow, what was the organization in terms of using IT? Where was it, and what did you do?
Okay. Well, before I answer your question, probably a little bit of primer will hopefully put things in perspective as far as the construction industry is concerned. Okay. The construction industry is what I would call technologically challenged, and traditionally it's been a late adopter in terms of IT is concerned. You'd be fortunate, quite frankly, if you deal with a contractor that has a fax machine. That's probably the extent of technology, at least back in the mid to late 90s. Now, at Barton Malow, 7 years ago or so, IT is still at its infancy. Yet the senior management here understood that IT can be used as a competitive weapon, really, for competitive business advantage. Here at Barton Malow back then, IT was called MIS. Remember that term?
Right.
It kind of has has a connotation of like a 1970s type of mentality, if you will. So that's where the company was at back then. And it had a very small network of probably close to 100 users, if that. Probably five sites or so in our wide area network, maximum of 64 kilobits type of connection, very low-end connection, and two servers in total for the entire enterprise. As far as applications are concerned, back then, they've had primarily a standalone, non-networked, PC-based DOS apps that were all custom developed in-house. And certainly, it was very useful and innovative for its time. Again, in the context of the construction industry, it was pretty good. So from that standpoint, they certainly used IT to its fullest at that time, given the resources that they had in place. So it's it was in good shape, not in great shape, but certainly it was solid. I joined in order to do more other things for the company.
That's great. When we talk about Barton Malow, when you joined, you had, like, you said two servers in total, and that was the network. is that the state which you got as a starting point, and then you had to, you know, literally work with the individuals and the management to basically change the mindset?
Yeah, that is quite frankly the starting point. That's the baseline that I came into. Again, the good news is at least you know, the senior leadership within the company, I'm talking about our CEO, our executive VP, our senior vice presidents, they all understood the power and the value that information technology can bring into an organization such as Barton Mallow Construction. Therefore, I was brought in, quite frankly, you know, in order to establish some guidance and leadership in IT, in order to create, you know, in order to create the team to make, you know, to really take a full advantage of information technologies for the construction industry. So, from that standpoint, that was my mission, you know, back then.
When I would say, I would call you lucky, because most of the times the management does not even think in terms of, like, they don't even perceive this to be of value, and they don't want to take active initiatives in that direction. So when you actually came in, you said that your CEO and the management already were looking to, you know, make strides in that direction.
Right. They understood. They understood from a macro level what IT can do to an organization to propel it to the level of excellence that they want, that it could be. Now, they just don't know how to execute it. I mean, you know, that's where I come in as the CIO, and that's quite frankly the first ever CIO for what today is an 80-year-old company.
So they empowered you. They did not actually, of course, you know, as a CEO, they would not micromanage a CIO. What we are looking at is someone who thought that there is a requirement, and then you brought in your revolutionary ideas or creative ideas from that standpoint.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then the other thing that I did, one of the very first things that I did was, you know, obviously take an assessment of the landscape, see what the landscape is like and stuff like that. But beyond that, what's more important is one of the first initiatives I did was kind of, you know, put together a team of a lot of operations people, people that are out in the field or manage projects, and, you know, people that do the day-to-day type of work that make money for us, you know, and work with them very, very tightly, and developed an IT strategy with very strong input and participation from the operating groups, and to make sure, quite frankly, that it's aligned with our business strategy, you know. And we certainly got the buy-in up front. I mean, you know, the IT strategy kind of helped us then guide, you know, kind of like a roadmap, if you will, for the next 5 years of what type of things, what kind of things we think we should be doing, how are we going to do it, you know, at least from a macro level again. And no details, but enough to say that, you know, this makes sense, and that, you know, it makes sense for us to go into, you should try to leverage the Internet. It makes sense for us to, you know, standardize on a project management system that is third-party versus something that we are we develop in-house, just things of that nature. So, and because that was very key. That way, immediately from day one, you got the buy-in, you know, from the operating groups, from the officer level and up, in terms of what IT is supposed to be doing for the company, and not just buying computers. I mean, yeah, that's a no-brainer. But really, really to try to figure out, okay, what does it take? What does it take in order to how to use IT in order to create value to the organization?
Well, that's wonderful. Now, when we talk about the construction industry in general, I would say, like, fish is a fish is a fish. You know, it's only so much difference can there be in the process. Now, just to bring up this point, where we had one of our guests who is the CIO of a leading home builder. How do you see, and that of course is in the construction industry, so how do you see your segment to be any different from them, and how would your IT challenges be any different?
One can argue to a certain extent that the challenges of every CIO are very similar across all industries. I mean, the difference, quite certainly there are differences. There are industry-specific forces that one has to deal with, in addition, there are maturity levels of a given organization and a given industry in adopting IT. But realistically, I believe that the underlying issues across all industry are, for the most part, the same. The difference probably is scale and complexity. I mean, so there are differences, but, you know, when we peel the onion, if you will, the issues are very, very comparable. Now, after all, from my perspective, IT is not just about the technology, okay? But IT really is more about the processes, and most importantly, the most important aspect of it is the people that will make it happen. And so as long as you have people working in a given industry, the issues are very similar, you know? Hope this makes sense.
No, I mean, and you know, what you're saying is that's true, and, you know, still, that's why I sometimes wonder that when they talk about somebody being picked up for an IT management job or even an execution-level job, they say that, do you have experience in a certain industry? Is that actually justified when you say that the core issues of any industry are common? It is a matter of how you handle them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, quite frankly, I believe that CIOs should be nimble enough to cross industries, again, because I believe the issues are very similar, if not identical. And a lot of times, you know, one industry can learn from another. You know, when you are in a given industry vertical, sometimes your thinking is just in that silo. Whereas if you cross industries, I think each industry can learn from the other. And that's where I think CIOs, when they actually deliver value, that's one of the ways that they can, is to give that, you know, knowledge transfers, if you will, across different industries.
That's great. Now, due to the very nature of construction industry, even if there is no technology intervention, even then the business would be carried out because, you know, people will build homes and or even stadiums like your company did, and other construction projects would be carried out. However, there must be something which IT must be bringing to the table in terms of competitive advantage. What are they? But before we get into this, let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today. Technology.
Are you ready to get the most out of your money? Listen to Fiscal Fitness with Drs. Don Schutz and Kurt Bitbrenner every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Don and Kurt will discuss investment strategies, tax breaks, goal setting, and more. Whip your finances into shape. Listen to Fiscal Fitness with Drs. Don Schutz and Kurt Bitbrenner every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio from a business perspective.
Hiring great people is one of the hardest and most important challenges you will face in running a business. Are you hiring smart or just hiring warm bodies? Learn how to make all the right choices by listening to the HR Power Hour with your host, Lee Richardson. On the show, Lee will teach you some easy-to-use techniques to make your staffing decisions with confidence. Broadcast live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the HR Power Hour will help keep you up to date with the new ways that you can make your company more cost-effective by improving productivity and performance from your employees. So tune in every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time for the HR Power Hour with Lee Richardson, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Informative, entertaining, and educational talk. www.voiceamerica.com. Come find out what you've been missing.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is IT challenges of construction industry. Our guest for today's show is Philip T. Goh. Phil is the Chief Information Officer at Barton Malow Company. Phil joined Barton Malow in 1997, and under his leadership, he has guided Barton Malow into an international light by receiving several distinguished IT awards. In 2001, Information Week listed Barton Malow among the 500 most innovative companies worldwide. In addition, CIO Magazine twice named Barton Malow to its list of the top 100 companies that have innovative information technology practices and IT excellence. In 2002, Computer World named Phil as a Premier 100 IT leader. Before the break, we were discussing about how, while we know that the nature of construction business is such that even if there was no IT whatsoever, we could still carry out the construction process, and as that has been done over the hundreds of years that we have been building, different structures. At the same time, there definitely has to be a competitive advantage that IT would bring to the table, which would make you better, more streamlined, and there would be other benefits. So, Phil, please share your thoughts.
Okay. Well, first things first, in terms of being able to run the business effectively without technology, frankly, I'm not sure I would agree with your statement 100%. And the reason I say that is because I recall on numerous occasions our operations folks out at the job site, folks out at our regional offices has told me in no uncertain terms saying that, hey, Phil, if our network or if our server is down, and this is a direct quote, we might as well just send everybody home because nothing will get done. And that was obviously very eye-opening to me in terms of, I would think in the same, before joining the industry, I would think that, hey, in this construction, information technology, really, what are the linkages? But given this type of statements from the project teams and from the some officers of the company, it kind of put things in perspective. Now, realistically, some of the competitive advantage that IT can offer, really, it's just like any other industry. The availability of pertinent and timely information in order to collaborate on a given project. Construction project, and based upon this availability to complete the project on a timely basis, or better yet, ahead of schedule, in other words, cycle time. These types of advantages are humongous, huge, and really that's some of the value that IT has brought to Barton Malow. Also, if we have a good project management system and use the availability in order to track and project costs, costs that are incurred by the project, and accurately. And this something like this would also provide a competitive edge versus doing it the old-fashioned way, through Excel spreadsheets, if you will. another use of IT in the construction industry is, we need to make sure that we deal with the best performing subcontractors. A lot of our work is done by subs, and we have a system that we built that tracks the performance of all subcontractors throughout the entire enterprise across all projects. As the saying goes, quite frankly, you're only as good as your weakest link. So a system like this to make sure that we deal with the best subs out there will provide us with a huge competitive advantage. Finally, another example is, something that's very near and dear to me, is the use of video conferencing technology where we meet with our colleagues, that are scattered throughout the country, as well as clients, utilizing this medium, quite frankly, in order to save a lot of time and money. And I'm not talking just the talking heads version of video conferencing. It is actually using the system to provide collaboration and training opportunities using what's called people, which is the people that you see and hear, and content. Content being the things that you're collaborating with. Now, these are but very simple examples of things that, you know, IT has brought to a company like Barton Malow in order to get the competitive advantages.
That's great. Now, let's look at the innovative IT practices that your company has been awarded for. What would be innovation from the standpoint of what exactly the number of things that you shared with us, which were put into place for Barton Malow? What's innovative side of it?
Okay. Yeah, well, you're right in terms of, I'm very pleased. Obviously, I am not in the business of getting awards. I mean, that is certainly not, it's a nice to have, but it's not our core competency. So I'll make sure that you understand that. But we've been fortunate that we were recognized by CIO Magazine, by Computer World, by Information Week, ConstructTech, and a bunch of others for our IT excellence and innovative IT practices, you know. Again, it's important to put things in context in terms of the construction industry and its rate of adoption of IT. Like I said, the very first, you know, early on, it's behind the times. It's probably, in my estimation, probably between 5 and 10 years behind, depending on the company. But as an industry, I think that's fair. Okay. Now, in terms of some of the innovative things we've done, something that we're very proud of, we have used the internet. Okay, using the internet as a whole for job site connectivity purposes. It's very key that our job sites are connected to the home office for applications or for whatever, and for communication purposes. We've used that type of, it's called VPN for those that are familiar with virtual private network type of technology for connectivity purpose. And we've used this back in 1998, you know, when it's still at its infancy, and quite frankly, not too many people still used it at that time. We've been using it since then. We're also one of the earliest adopters of using web-based project management and collaboration systems. You know, in other words, when you have a given project, you have the architects, the subs, the owner, the construction manager, you know, all working on a project, exchanging documents, and collaborating together on a given project. Others, we're talking about collaboration with the value chain partners. We've been doing it since the year 2000. So we've been at it for almost 4 years now. Now, we've also deployed selectively wireless network at certain locations. We did our first one, if my memory is right, somewhere around 2000 also, before the Linksys days, you know. So we've been doing that for a while. We're also an early adopter of IP, Internet Protocol, video conferencing collaboration system, like I said earlier, using people and content, okay. The people and content type of a system, as opposed to what I would call traditional talking heads, which is all you do is see each other and hear each other, and nothing beyond that. Now, with a system like that, we've had a payback period of less than a year. Systems paid for itself, you know, based upon the savings and efficiencies for such a system. The payback period is less than 1 year at Barton Malow. Couple more things. IP telephony and unified messaging. We've been doing it for almost 3 years now. In unified messaging, in that case, all our faxes and voicemails goes into our mailbox, email mailbox, one place to check all your correspondence, if you will. So, and that is a huge advantage, you know. And with IP telephony, we also have the capability of what is called a soft phone. A soft phone really is use your laptop, okay, run connect to the internet, broadband primarily, through a broadband connection from your hotel or wherever you are, you know, connect to the internet, and then launch this application. You can make and place phone calls as if you're in the office. And when people call you, you could be in a hotel room in San Francisco, as an example. People can reach you using your normal phone number, because they would have no idea where you are physically. And this is a huge advantage for, you know, it is great, and it's good especially for our telecommuters or road warriors. I mean, you know, people that are out a lot, they have this capability so that they can, you know, communicate with the world using their computer, you know, anywhere, and people will not know, do not need to know where you are. Obviously, this is not everything to everyone, but this is just, these are but some of the examples that we've done innovatively that not, quite frankly, not too many companies, I don't think, not too many companies do yet today.
And when you say about the innovation that you mentioned, this is more in comparison to other companies in this industry versus across the board?
Absolutely. And, yes.
You're saying like it's across the board. And, of course, some of the things that you mentioned are actually unheard of. And especially I was very thrilled to hear about, this ROI that you got within the year. That's totally unheard of.
And quite frankly, and this is one of those things that I made sure... you can buy video conferencing for, depending on what it is. Some people think video conferencing equals, you have a webcam, you're done. And I said, guys, let's spend money correctly. let's make sure that we do it right, or don't do it, okay? And in this particular case, the video conferencing for us is a system that streams both audio video as well as content. Content being, a videotape, whatever you want to play back, content being your laptop computer, you plug it in, you can see it at the XGA resolution, as opposed to television type of resolution, which is absolutely useless. Content such as a DVD, whatever DVD content you have, or content such as physical things that you can put under a camera, so that you can see a given part or something that's not working quite well. I mean, these are, again, because that's really where the value of a video conferencing system is in the ability to collaborate on documents, collaborate on things, as opposed to just seeing each other and hearing each other.
That's wonderful. Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and we will talk a little bit about a particular mantra which one of our guests uses, where they say each year the IT budget should reduce and the value created in terms of efficiency and effectiveness of business operations should increase. But let's take this up when we come back. So please stay tuned.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Stuck in neutral? Then shift into high gear and get your life moving in the right direction by listening to The Acceleration Zone with Carla Robertson. Broadcast live every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, Carla Robertson, the owner of Shifting Gears, will demystify the term coaching and show you what a business coach can do for you. Gain positive momentum. Get into gear. Listen to The Acceleration Zone with Carla Robertson every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Get in the zone.
Hello. Thank you for calling Acme. How can I help you?
I'd like to order.
Sir, can you hold on? Thanks.
Have you ever experienced one of these calls? Even worse, is this how your call center sounds on the phone? Call Center Solutions is an exciting and fast-paced show that will explore the world of customer interaction and call centers. Every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, John Meniza, a 20-year veteran of the call center world, will give you tips and ideas to provide a better experience for your customers, employees, and yourself. Let's hear that call after Call Center Solutions.
Hello, thanks for calling Acme Call Centers. How may I help you today?
Yeah, I'd like to order.
That's Call Center Solutions with John Meniza every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Tune in, sit back, learn, laugh, and enjoy.
It's 11 p.m., and it's just been reported that your company's product has allegedly caused a house fire and there are injuries. What do you do?
Are you prepared for a critical PR situation? For tips on these situations and more, tune in to AMPR with your hosts Karen Barnett and Lara Cohn, heard every Thursday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Karen and Lara will discuss public relations issues and other media-related topics. So if you want a broad-based knowledge of public relations, listen to AMPR, heard every Thursday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
Welcome back to Managing Technology the Right Way with Sun Jogal. Call in with your questions at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who just tuned in, today's topic is IT challenges of construction industry. Our guest for today's show is Philip T. Goh. Phil is the Chief Information Officer at Barton Mallow Company. Phil has joined Barton Mallow in 1997, and under his leadership, he has guided Barton Mallow into an international light by receiving several distinguished IT awards. In 2001, Information Week listed Barton Mallow among the 500 most innovative companies worldwide. In addition, CIO Magazine twice named Barton Mallow to its list of the top 100 companies that have innovative information technology practices and IT excellence. In 2002, Computer World named Phil as a Premier 100 IT leader. Before the break, we had discussed about some of the innovative techniques and technologies that have been used by Barton Mallow to come up to a level which is almost unheard of. And a follow-up question was where, you know, we had one of our guests in the past who had a mantra where he said every year they wanted to reduce the IT budget and they wanted to make sure that the value created by it in terms of efficiency and effectiveness of business operations should increase. So, Phil, what do you think about this mantra?
Well, first things first, definitely IT must and have created value to an organization. Otherwise, you know, the market is efficient. So if you're not adding value, you know, it's easy to get rid of. Okay. However, in terms of the IT budget reducing year over year, I think it all depends where the company is and the industry is in terms of its IT adoption, as well as the bigger picture, which is the innovation and technology. You know, where are you in given in that? If one is adopting new processes and new technologies, simple economics dictate that IT spend has to increase, quite frankly, initially due to the investments. Okay, and over time, as the technology is more widely adopted, it will taper off and has to taper off. So from that standpoint, I agree. However, the challenge here, I think, is for organizations to figure out, okay, when do we stop innovating? When do we stop adopting new practices, new technologies? And that's a tough one. I mean, you know, I would argue, quite honestly, I would argue that that when an organization stops being innovative and stops adopting new ideas, new technology, it's very dangerous. And as its very existence will be at risk. Okay? And remember what Dr. Deming said. Okay? Change is not necessary. Survival is not mandatory.
Wow. Great. Now, let's look at these wireless and mobile applications. You know, that's becoming mainstream with most businesses. And that require on-demand, anytime, anywhere information availability. What do you see Barton Mallow as, is Barton Mallow going to be adopting them? And do you think, really, do you need these technologies and create some value out of them too?
I had mentioned earlier about some of the wireless and mobility initiatives we have at Barton Mallow. You know, our first wireless location was back in the year 2000. I firmly believe that the ability to access the network, whatever it is, the internet or your corporate network, you know, anytime, anywhere is a great thing. It is fabulous. Okay. the challenge I see in certain wireless mobile solutions, quite frankly, is the lack of what I would consider mission-critical applications that really would take full advantage of the mobility. Now, by this, I mean footprints such as, you know, the smartphones or even certain PDAs. Let's be honest. A lot of people, what do they do with the PDA to track your appointments and your contact? And that's the extent of it, you know. Form factor is also an issue, I think, you know, because it is very hard, at least in my experience, it's very hard to replace the full functionality of a laptop computer. Okay, smaller footprints are niche items that do well, that do very well for very specific tasks. Now, Barton Mallow, we continue to do a lot of research on future R&D type of things and try things out on a lot of these devices and solutions. I'm indeed very optimistic that they become where wireless is truly everywhere, performance not an issue, and the applications are there, but we're not there yet. At least that's my assessment.
So from your standpoint, do you see that while, you know, as you mentioned, that people cannot replace laptops with these PDAs, but given that you have these contract workers and or other executives who are dealing with these different projects, if they were provided these PDAs which are connected via the internet or other wireless networks, then they could actually execute and execute their respective duties?
Yes, so they could. I mean, you know, again, very specific. You know, as an example, you know, look at BlackBerries. It's a great thing.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. We love it. I mean, you know, BlackBerry is a great thing. However, it's just one of those things that does it replace your computer? Absolutely not. I mean, you know, at least for probably 90% of the people, 95% of people. I mean, so from that standpoint, I mean, we continue to look at these things. We continue to invest in them. But it's, again, I firmly believe it's very hard to replace your laptop computer, you know, in exchange for those type of form factors.
So, like, looking back again at these applications which are available, and, you know, it all depends on how much do you need, and does it even make it practical for somebody to be holding their BlackBerry or their Palms and you know, typing in or using your stylus to type in the data. But at the same time, I've seen people using Salesforce management tools which mm-hmm. are connected with the Palm, and they are able to not only just do appointments and things like that, they could take notes and they can see the reports and everything that is needed for a person to be able to, you know, quickly get a glance on the like data. For example, your own salespeople are there outside and they're talking about projects, and then suddenly somebody asks about a specific data. At the same time, you could have your executives who are at the project site and they're saying, okay, we seem to be short on material, so maybe there's a interface provided on your wireless or a Palm application which says, okay, tell us the project number and what particular contract you're talking about, and against that, what is the material available? So it shows you a quantity. So then they're not guesstimating. They are actually
having the data. And like I said, for very specific niches, very specific tasks, it's very good at that. Now, for it to replace someone's computer, I just don't see it.
Oh, no. That's definitely not. But do you think Barton Mallow is actually going in that direction? And
yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, and we just launched our whole BlackBerry initiative not too long ago. And the great thing is this is a user-driven need. You know, the user says, hey, Phil, you know, we should really do something like this. What do you think? You know, so we take a look at it. We test a bunch of things, tried it out in a very select pilot group and say, this is a great thing. Let's do it. I mean, you know. So from that standpoint, we are indeed, you know, doing a lot of mobile type of things as well as wireless solutions. Yeah, the challenge is it's not available everywhere. I mean, you know, there's so many different ones. There's depending on what you're looking for, and there's no one size fit all, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's true. And in fact, I remember there was a conversation with the CIO of the other, that home builder I was referring to. He also mentioned the challenges that, yeah, while we would just love to have some applications like those, but normally the sites are remote and they are not covered by the networks at all.
Especially those greenfield ones. Getting facilities out there is a huge challenge. I mean, you know, absolutely.
Yeah, so maybe our infrastructure, the underlying networks, have to evolve to a level where it's literally available everywhere, and then you'll automatically see these applications popping up for that business.
Yes, and I can't wait till that day comes.
Okay. I think we are heard about that.
Yes.
Now, let's look at this regulations or compliance issues that at all might be existing in your industry. I was referring to Sarbanes-Oxley, which could be for a public company. You are private, right?
Yes.
Yes. So.
Well, yes.
Yeah, but that's primarily for public industry or for HIPAA, and HIPAA is for the healthcare. But if you are creating or are developing or constructing buildings for hospitals, at the same time you might be doing something with where you're connected in some form or fashion to a public company, and if there is any exchange of data that's happening, then you automatically become a business associate and you come under the umbrella of these two at least. And if there might be other federal regulations or other regulations that you might be coming under. So what's your emphasis as you create your IT strategy? Because compliance should be also one of the key issues where you don't want to be penalized for ignorance of that.
Sure. I mean, in terms of Sarbanes-Oxley specifically, I mean, like you said, we are indeed a privately held firm, and therefore Sarbanes-Oxley is not technically required, as far as I know. However, well, we definitely agree with its principles, and it's just sound management practices to have good controls in place to make sure that your financial statements and and all your documents are beyond reproach. And and we definitely agree with it. And we are I'm not 100% sure how far we are, but I'm confident that we're in very good shape from that standpoint. Again, being privately held is a lot less of an issue because we're not technically required to comply.
Are there any other compliance issues though which you have to deal with? Because of the fact that you're in a specific industry and compliance, not from the overall business operations, but more the way your IT is handled.
We have our own auditors that come and audit what we do and the typical things in terms of financial systems, in terms of security, in terms of backup, disaster recovery, those types of things, absolutely. We also have... being in the construction space, I mean, we also deal with a lot of the OSHA regulations. I mean, those are some of the compliance things that we have to, where we are obligated to comply to. And so it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different HIPAA, a little bit different from Sarbanes-Oxley, but we have compliance type of issues that we deal with every day. That's specific to the construction business.
That's great. Let's take a quick break, listeners, and we'll be right back after these messages, and then we will talk about a little bit about the offshore outsourcing of IT, which I know is a dead horse, but at the same time, there are always some issues which we can look at and see how we can deal with them in a better fashion. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
TalkNetRadio.com, the new sound of talk radio.
Fearless Leadership is not just a show title, it's a way of life. With your host, Dr. Valenti, you will learn how to apply leadership skills to your everyday life. On the show, Dr. Valenti will discuss topics from overcoming fear to building confidence. So won't you tune in to Fearless Leadership every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
Come see what all the talk is about.
What about the best road experience you guys have had so far?
When we're having a really good experience on the road, I usually don't remember most of it.
Today, our party topic is, don't own it, don't worry.
How was the premiere there, Freddie vs. Jason?
Wonderful. Absolutely.
www.voiceamerica.com. It's what you've been missing.
Talk radio with a business perspective. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
What does your brand represent? How do your customers relate and respond to it? Join us every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific for Integrating Your Brand Experience. Your host, Robert Ferguson from Corey Integrated Communications, will discuss case studies with special guest speakers to show you how to turn every customer experience with your brand into an opportunity to build your...
Informative, entertaining, and educational talk. www.voiceamerica.com. Come find out what you've been missing.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is IT challenges of construction industry. Our guest for today's show is Philip T. Gull. Phil is the Chief Information Officer at Barton Mallow Company. Phil joined Barton Mallow in 1997, and under his leadership, he has guided Barton Mallow into an international light by receiving several distinguished IT awards. In 2001, Information Week listed Barton Mallow among the 500 most innovative companies worldwide. In addition, CIO Magazine twice named Barton Mallow to its list of top 100 companies that have the innovative information technology practices and IT excellence. In 2002, Computer World named Phil as a Premier 100 IT leader. Before the break, we just touched briefly on the topic of Sarbanes-Oxley and HIPAA, and definitely there does not seem to be a direct connection, but it's always a good idea to keep things in mind where, if at all there is a very, even if it is a long shot and there's a remote connection, then we should be taking care of the compliance. And of course, as Phil mentioned, there are other federal compliance issues that are pertaining to the construction industry, and they have been well taken care of. The follow-up question I had, which I asked before the break, was the offshore outsourcing of IT. There is a lot of noise about that at this time, especially when the jobs are being taken away, or that's the perception, and that's why people are talking about it. But at the same time, there's a predicament in terms of whether to save local economy by preventing job export or lower cost of IT services that affect bottom line, thus raising profitability, or in some cases even keeping the lights on. So what do you think about this this whole issue, Phil?
Well, Sanjog, I mean, this is purely an economic issue based upon the loss of supply and demand. Yet, I think it's very emotional because it affects jobs and, frankly, American jobs. In the free market, microeconomics dictate that enterprises searches for the most efficient and effective resources to produce its goods and services. In certain cases, the most efficient, effective resources could be in Mexico, could be in China, India, Lithuania, wherever, you know. One thing that we all need to understand is that it's not just about cheap labor, but more importantly, it's about the productivity that is realized per dollar expended. I believe that the global economy as a whole will benefit from this phenomenon. And, frankly, the last thing we want to do is raise the protectionist flag. I don't think we can fight it as long as we have a true free market economy. It will be very challenging for us here in the United States, as we have enjoyed unprecedented levels of affluence over the last 50 years. And this is a very tough issue, a very, very tough, very emotional issue. But if we are indeed a free market, then market forces will dictate that you find resources to produce your goods and services the most efficient and effective manner. No. And, you know, one thing is, as consumers, you know, I believe that we benefit from this phenomenon, as in terms of the real dollars when we buy things, I think we get a lot more value for the goods and services that we acquire because of outsourcing, you know. And it is tough. It's very emotional, but I think it's the free market enterprise at its best.
So there's of course one good point that you mentioned, which many companies are not realizing, even if the companies are actually choosing to offshore, send us the stuff offshore, and relative to IT, is that it's not just try to get the lowest cost, because you see sometimes you get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And like I said, that's why I said earlier, it's not just about the cheap labor, but more, it really is about the productivity. You know, if a resource costs, you know, let's exaggerate a little bit. Let's say the resource costs, you know, 10%, but it takes 20 times to do the same thing. It makes no sense, right? I mean, you know, therefore, really, it's about the productivity, you know, realized per dollar that you spent on the resource.
Yeah, and you know what? That's where the quality emphasis on quality makes so much it becomes so much important whenever we are getting into a relationship. That what's the intent? You know, many times people are saying yes, we are the cheapest, but at the same time they are just trying to get their foot into the door. And when it comes down to delivering, you are just sitting there wondering why the heck did we do this?
Yeah. Again, it's not just. Again, you look at the entire picture, not just the labor rate, the hourly rate, if you will, you know, because at the end of the day, it's what value will these type of relationships really bring into your organization. And there's no one right answer. It's a matter of the situation each company is in, what are the two or three key metrics that they want to try to achieve, and would offshoring be a viable alternative? It's tough. It's, I don't like it, but... You know, I don't like it because it is a very difficult situation. But it's also, like I said earlier, it really is indeed the free market economy working at its best.
So at Barton Mellow, you definitely like to create the value, best value for each dollar that is spent. So do you think in your situation, I know you also like to keep your staff, like even the regular staff which is sitting in the United States, are very lean. At the same time, do you think there would be any benefit that you see if you had the right partners and they had the right thing to offer, and of course you do your due diligence to identify and verify that? Would you be interested in, you don't have to comment one way or the other, but do you think there's something like where it is creating value and it makes business sense, would you actually go for it?
If it makes business sense, I will look at it very hard. I mean, again, it's you cannot take the emotion out of this thing. I won't say you cannot. It's very hard to take the emotion out of this. But at the end of the day, it's all about delivering shareholder value to the shareholders of this company.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all about creating wealth. You know, and whatever it takes to create wealth, as long as you do it the right way, you know, the legal way, the ethical way, you know, and that's what it's all about.
That's great. Now, while we have already seen all the good things that have been done at Barton Mellow, but the journey would not have been without some obstacles or some things which did not go as planned and they did not deliver the results as planned. Could you share with our listeners, would you like to share with our listeners, and in that regard, were there any specific projects which you think could have been done better from the IT standpoint, like an IT management standpoint, and then there were some lessons learned, and if there were, then what were they?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, frankly, being a first mover has its advantages, yet, you know, being a pioneer, we've had our shares of arrows at our backs, if you will, you know. Quite frankly, I remember the saying that goes something to the effect that show me someone that has not made a mistake, and I can show you someone that has not done anything. I mean, you know, that really is taking risk is part of the job. Now, one incident comes to mind is our adoption, early adoption of an ASP-based application service provider-based served web-based project management and collaboration system. You know, the idea was outstanding. I mean, it makes a ton of sense, and we had very high hopes regarding its success and adoption rate. And you know, quite frankly, we were also caught in the middle of the heyday of the .com type of a thing, you know. But quite frankly, at the end of the day, we had mixed results for projects that were mandated by the client that a web-based project management and collaboration system be used, guess what? The success rate was pretty good. For those that were optional, it was pretty low. You know, quite frankly, we underestimated the amount of effort it took to successfully implement the system. There were technical challenges too. That was part of the equation. But just as importantly, in order to successfully collaborate, the collaborators must be willing to collaborate, and we had an issue with that. And in construction, it's still a new paradigm. And in this particular case, the lesson learned was the industry simply was not ready. So that was painful. That was the painful experience. But it was one of those things that if you don't try it, you would not know. You know, you would not know how it's going to work out.
Thank you. On behalf of the show and our listeners, I would like to thank you, Phil, for sharing your insights about IT challenges of the construction industry, as well as the strategies to deal with them and still come out as a winner.
Thank you, Sandra. Appreciate you inviting me as your guest.
Thanks again. I urge all our listeners to participate, as this is the key to success of this show. Achieving excellence in IT management in a perceived to be low-tech industry like construction takes more than just technology know-how. We are dealing with mindsets here. The effort needs to divert the users and management's attention towards the incremental benefit to working environment and business success versus just the advantage of technologies deployed. They don't care about the technology used, and actually they shouldn't. They feel, and rightfully so, that technology is meant to help the business operations and communication and make them more streamlined. While wearing a technology leader hat in your organization, it is imperative that emphasis is on the leader part of the title. Thank you again for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next Friday, take care and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. Please join Sanjog All next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.